You're listening to AM 970, The Answer. And now, Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, the president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, we have our very special guest, Melinda Katz, who is the Queens Borough president as of this conversation. However, she is running for District Attorney of Queens. Full disclosure, yes, we did endorse her.
Welcome to Reaching Out. Thank you very much, Mr. Floyd. I appreciate being here, and I appreciate all your members' support.
Thank you. And I want to mention that you also served in the Assembly, the City Council. So you have a wide range of experience in city government.
I do. You know, I went to law school at St. John's Law School in the great borough of Queens, might I add, and stood up against powerful interests my entire career. You know, I started this business as running against the Old Boys Club in the beginning of my career 25 years ago for the New York State Assembly, and then got to the Assembly and told the statute of limitations for child sexual abuse to make sure that kids could be adults before they had to report their abusers and people could get justice as adults for the actions that took place when they were just little children. Stood up against the HMOs and the insurance companies to get direct access for a lot of health care decisions. And so I think it's important to show when you're running for such an important job like district attorney that you don't back down and that you are used to controversy, that you stand up for what's right no matter which office you hold. And so it's been an exciting career. There's no doubt about that. But I have been really honored at every level to work with great people.
So tell us, what are some of your goals and your plans for becoming, after you become District Attorney of Queens?
You know, we have a whole nationwide reform movement going on for the criminal justice system, but Queens has truly gotten left behind. You know, we had a same district attorney for 28 years who served this state well, and God rest his soul, he just passed away. But, you know, there's a lot more that we can do in the borough of Queens, and we need an equitable criminal justice system. And I'm a true believer that you can have justice for victims, but you also need justice for defendants. And part of that's not truly happening. And so you need a system in place where there's no cash bail. You know, there are people that commit, you know, crimes of $1 million worthy of bail, and they're home that night for dinner with food on the table and walking their children to school the next day because they can afford the bail. But if you're accused of doing a low-level crime, a lot of times you can't afford the bail. 70% of Rikers is waiting for trial, and it's hard. So we need to make sure that we have better justice as we move forward. We need to make sure that we put a lot of the changes in place that will make it a fairer and equitable system. But I must tell you, Greg, you know, one of the things that we need to focus on, especially in the borough of Queens, is making sure our kids don't end up in the system. And that's really the place where I think that we need to catch a lot of young people especially. You know, we don't have a partnership with the district attorney's office that brings back people that might have done time, for instance, and want to show young people a better path and better choices. We don't have cure violence partnership programs with the district attorney's office. And these are groups that I've been working with for years. And I mean, the best justice that you can get is making sure our kids never end up in the system at all.
Well, that's a good approach. That's a preventative because if you could stop a young person from committing a crime, you've got more than half the battle done, and that means a lot. There's organizations out there. Council for Unity is one. I would urge you to go look at their website, and they do great work because they're former gang members, mm-hmm. and they're in the New York City Public Schools. It's started by a gentleman who used to be a school teacher. His name is Robert DeSena. Mm-hmm. And Robert DeSena has a great track record with youth and bringing, you know, just preventing children from joining gangs. And it would be good for you to partner with somebody like that.
Absolutely. I mean, those people, those folks that came out of the system and people who are willing to meet with our youth, and work with them. And not only in high school, you need to start in junior high school. And there are those, as I've been on this campaign trail, who talk a lot about how to get third graders, fourth graders even involved with these crime prevention groups. But yeah, that's a perfect example. People that have been through the system, people that once were in gangs and realized that there were better choices and better paths that maybe they didn't take. Go and they earn the credibility, earn the creds, as we say, to go back into the system and talk to our young people. It is so important that we do that. And it is so important that we have a partnership as we do that. Because the district attorney, you know, we can fund things. We can give money. We can do all these things to go into communities. But if you don't have the community organizations that are already on the ground, that are already working on cure violence programs, that are already working on gang prevention programs, that are working in mental health issues or drug abuse clinics, if you don't have a partnership, when we leave, they don't have the infrastructure. And so one of the first things I think we need to do is truly empower the community organizations that are on the ground right now.
There's another organization that starred Charles Dutton, and I believe, I'm forgetting the name, but they have From Prison to Broadway, and they have actors, and they come in, and they do great work. And those are vital organizations that just come in and show young people alternatives than crime.
Yes, and it's amazing how someone who's famous, someone who young people see on TV or in the movies, sometimes it depends on the role they play, actually, in their parts, can have great influence on young people. And you know, look, the truth of the matter is, no matter what we do when people are at Rikers, or no matter what we do when people are in state jail, prison system, we need to make sure that they don't end up there. And if there's a way to divert some of the young people especially, but you know, right now you're diverting people who get caught with low-level amounts, for instance, of drugs. We're diverting them in the Bronx, Manhattan, and Staten Island so that they get drug rehabilitation programs instead of automatically sitting on Rikers awaiting trial. And so people end up better than they were before. But people aren't getting better sitting on Rikers waiting trial. It just doesn't work. The services aren't there. And so we need to make sure that we do preventative as well as everything else.
Now, what are some of your ideas? What are some of your what criminal justice reform changes will you start to make when you take office?
Well, as you know, the state legislature just passed a law, finally, after years of working, that there'll be no cash bail for misdemeanors and nonviolent felons. And I think that that's truly important. Right now, cash bail is simply a punishment for not having enough money, right? You could pay it. If you do a crime that's really horrible with $1 million of bail, you can get out. But if you do a crime that's low level for $500 bail, you're sitting waiting for months for your trial. So no cash bail. I do think we need to create more diversion programs. So those folks that are not remanded because of by virtue of the crime or by virtue of their history, and those that aren't no cash bail because of misdemeanors and low violent felons, I think there's a middle ground. Many of them can be helped by supervised release. Many of the folks can be helped by the drug rehab programs or by the cure violence programs or checking in with a workforce development organization every single day. And so I think that we need to use those tools. So no cash bail, discovery reform. Right now you're asked to plea bargain before you see all the evidence against you in Queens County. That's not the way it is all over. And so we need to make sure that on day one, we have discovery reform. And I think it's truly important to have a conviction integrity unit. And that unit needs to look back at past convictions. And it has to have people on it that are not just the ADA that originally prosecuted the case, right? We need to make sure that we have a different ADA, defense attorneys, groups like the Innocence Project or VERA, or those people from the community. I find that is so important when we are talking about how to reform an office. And we need to diversify the office from top down. You got to have people that reflect the community. You know, when I became the borough president, we diversified the office that I was in to make sure that we had folks that spoke languages of the communities and were able to work, but also from the community. And I think the ADAs, the investigators, and a lot of the staff, we should look very hard within Queens to make sure we're actually not only diversifying the office in language as well, by the way, but also that we're hiring as much as we can from the community. But the biggest difference, I think, would be the cash bail and also the Cure Violence programs that we've already been working on. You know, we work a lot with a lot of the groups in the borough. We did, for instance, sealing convictions of those folks that had a conviction over 10 years old, a misdemeanor and a nonviolent felony. You could get them sealed now. Who knew? I mean, you right now have a right under the state of New York, if you've gotten into no trouble for 10 years, to have those convictions sealed. So when someone asks you, have you ever been convicted of a crime, you can say no. And more on forgiveness programs as well that we've done in the borough. Important to give people second chances. We don't want people to worry, like they get stopped for a speeding ticket and they have an outstanding warrant from like 8 years ago for loitering somewhere. And then all of a sudden, the speeding ticket turns into so much more.
Now, I know you mentioned no bail, but I did hear something key in there. If you rob a bank, you're going to have to post bail. That you said low level. That's not grand larceny. That's not high level crime. So at first, you know, when everybody was talking about no bail, I said, wow, no bail for any crime. But I heard specifically low level crimes.
Right. So no bail doesn't mean that everyone gets ROR, right? So not having a bail system. So like right now in California, they have a system where they have a pretrial assessment unit as to whether or not you'll show up in court. And let's not forget that that's really what bail is for, right? Will you, because you haven't been tried of a crime, you haven't even had the evidence shown that's against you, will you show back up in court? But I do think you're absolutely right. People get very unclear when you say no bail. That doesn't mean that those that have a record that shows that they will not show up in court don't get remanded. And it doesn't also mean that you shouldn't get services to make sure that you're actually being supervised if you do get out. And so, yes, there is a middle ground.
Okay. Now, you also mentioned something. You mentioned diversity.
Yes.
And I believe New York City and possibly New York State and possibly in the country, that Queens is the most diverse county that we have. Because you could go from Francis Lewis Boulevard, from the north end to the south end, it goes east and west, it curves all around. You will meet every nationality in the world. You could travel the world right there on Francis Lewis Boulevard.
You certainly can. And Queens is famous for a lot of things. But one is the neighborhoods that we have, right? We still say, I'm from Laurelton, New York, or I'm from Rosedale, New York, Forest Hills, New York. We don't say Queens, New York. We say our neighborhoods. But yes, we are very famous for our diversity. We are the most diverse on the planet. We're 190 countries. We're 200 languages. We are 48% born, according to the census, outside the United States of America. So think about this. Half of the people who filled out those long census, and by the way, a little commercial here, everyone should fill out the census for next year as well. Please, everyone fill out the census. But half the people that filled it out are born somewhere else in the world. And they decided not to make the United States their home, not to make New York their home. They decided to make Queens their home. And that is an amazing tribute. And it's the great gift, I believe, that we give the rest of the United States of America. I always tell reporters, you come to my borough, I will show you 10 countries in 45 minutes.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Go travel on Francis Lewis Boulevard.
Yep.
And I also have to say, it's the home of Donald J. Trump.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
I'm the borough president. I don't take credit for that, but we did a commercial in front of his house, actually, for when I ran for re-election for borough president. We did a commercial in front of his house, and the opening line of the commercial was, Donald Trump was born here, but our values couldn't be more worlds apart.
Now, what experience will you bring to the DA's office?
So like I said in the beginning, every office I've ever held, I've always stood up against powerful interests. And I think that's extremely important. And that's in addition to being an attorney for 30 years, right? So I went to St. John's Law School. I graduated in 90. I have been an associate as a securities litigator in one of the most major law firms in the city of New York called Weil, Gotchel & Manges. I was part owner as a shareholder in another major law firm called Greenberg Traurig. But most importantly, I've used my legal skills at every level of government that I have served. And that meant that I needed to stand up to powerful interests. I had the background and the knowledge to be able to do that in an effective manner. So when the library system went under trouble several years ago, many of your listeners may remember, you know, I stood up and said, we need to change the executive director And because we need to change the executive director, we need to change the board of directors. And so I effectively was able to work that, get legislation passed, and be able to make it a better system, I believe. And at the same time, you know, this comes up in all our debates all the time. I don't believe that you can be an effective district attorney for the borough of Queens if you need to introduce yourself to the constituency on January 1st. I don't think that you can possibly make the changes that are needed on day one. And so I think that's extremely important. We've been working with so many of the different groups throughout the county, so many different civic associations, the cure violence groups, the transitional services, the mental health organizations, and all of the groups throughout the borough that on day one, I will be able to empower them so that as we try to divert our kids from the gang atmosphere, from the system, that we empower these groups to be able to absorb a lot of the issues that we're now sending to jail. And we don't want to do that. And so I'm excited to do it. I'm excited to make the changes. I think it's also important to note that the district attorney's office is 530 people. It is over 300 attorneys. It has a budget of $59 million. It has a forfeiture fund of $113 million that can be used on community groups. I am the only candidate in this race that has run an office of over 65 people with a $5.3 million budget, with a $70 million a year capital budget, appointed 14 community board members, which is 700 people, and work with them on their fiscal budget. This is an office that needs changing from the top down, and the experience is going to matter in this one.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President of Local 237. Teamsters, our very special guest, Queensboro President Melinda Katz, and she is now running for District Attorney of Queens. When's the date of that race, by the way?
So the date of the election is not in September. It is June 25th. It is in 36 days, if my calculation is correct. It is coming up very soon. And, you know, people aren't used to having the elections and the primaries, especially in June. They're used to having them in September. It started out with the congressional primaries being in June so that the men and women abroad could vote by November. So now the state legislature, this is the very first year that they have changed all the primaries to June 25th.
Okay. Now, you've proposed creating a new worker protection bureau in the DA's office. Could you explain how that will work?
Sure. This was actually the first position paper that I wrote for district attorney. And it's interesting because right now the focus is really on employees in the office that embezzle from employers. I believe that we need to have a bureau that protects employees. We need to make sure that we have an anonymous way of reporting employees when there are either workplace theft, workplace discrimination, and people that are leveraging someone's documentation status against them and all that goes with it. But if there's no way to truly report that to the bureau, to the district attorney, then there's no justice. And then people should never feel like they don't have a voice, no matter what it is. So we need a Bureau of Worker Protection, which is going to include the work site safety plus worker protection from the inside. And it has to be a bureau that is funded, that has the resources, that knows the different languages that people are going to report these abuses in, and also that there is a way, whether you're documented or undocumented, to report these abuses and still get justice. And it's amazing right now how many people just, they feel like they don't have a voice, and they feel like they don't have someone to go to. So I'm going to make sure that they do. It's going to have investigators that are expertise in the different cultures, and it's going to have a backup. It's going to be able to back up people who feel that they are being taken advantage of and who, in fact, are.
And how will you reform the DA's office while still ensuring the public safety in Queens?
Well, study upon study has shown that when you do diversion programs and you educate the public and the law enforcement agencies work with the communities, that you actually lower recidivism. And it's quite a fascinating, thought, which is that by trying to divert people out of the system, you lower the rate that they are committing crimes. But a lot of things have to happen, right? You need a DA's office that partners with folks. You need second chance employment. You need to make sure that you work with organizations that I've worked with, like America Works or like the Fortune Society, and make sure that they are coordinating with the Queensborough Correctional Facility. We got people coming out of the system that need to find work, need to learn how to interview for jobs, need to get their GEDs, need to get college credits, and all that goes with it. Because if we're not doing that, then we leave people we're setting them up for failure. And we don't want to set people up for failure. We want to set people up to succeed and be able to have hardworking jobs and to provide for their families and put a roof over their heads and put food on the table. Because one way or another, people are going to do that. One way or another. And so to set up for success, I think, is extremely important. And one of the biggest debates that came out in this DA's race is that I believe you can have justice for victims and justice for defendants. They are not mutually exclusive. And in fact, they work better together than anything else. And so criminal justice reform doesn't mean, hey, we're just not going to do anything. Criminal justice reform means if you're a defendant in the system, you should have every civil right that is warranted. You should be able to divert when you can to make lives better. But you have to see the evidence against you. You have to have a system that's fair. You have to be able to plea bargain after you get indicted. To go to a defendant and say, well, if you don't plea bargain, we're going to indict you, and then afterwards we're not going to allow you to plea bargain anymore. You're going to be stuck with that indictment charge against you. It doesn't set up a system to succeed. It sets it up to fail.
So what separates you from the other candidates in this race?
I think, my experience separates me. And also my creds, right? I have been at every office in the Assembly and the Council as borough president. I'm one of the few candidates in this race that has had people protest them, has taken positions that have been unpopular, but I thought just, and who doesn't back down. And I think that's important for a district attorney. No matter what the laws say, no matter what the legislature passes, no matter what the governor signs, people need to remember that the district attorney still is one that has a lot of discretion, right? You have discretions to charge, you have discretions to plea bargain, you have discretion on how much, what the supervised release will look like. You have a discretion as to whether to do cash bail on the higher levels of crime or not after. I mean, this is all discretionary. And so I think that the history that I have of doing what I say and saying what I do has been an important component of why so many supporters have come on board. I'd like to think it's one of the components of 237 and why you guys were so kind in coming on board. But it's also the reason that Greg Meeks, a congressman well-respected, Alicia Hyman, Danique Miller, a lot of the other organizations have supported me. There's a history. But also, if you're going to organize a 530-person office with a $59 million budget, you need to have experience in running a large organization. And you need to have experience of running a large organization for over a few months. So my office was diverse from the day that I became the borough president. It ran smoothly as far as a fiscal budget goes. And I think most importantly, Greg, my policies and programs have been instituted in the borough president's office. And when they haven't, I've had mechanisms to find it. And that makes, I think, a good leader in the district attorney's office.
In 45 seconds, tell us the program that you are most proud of in your borough president's office.
I would say there are two of them. Number one, we have an immigration task force that helps the folks that come into the borough of Queens who have legal questions, who have domestic violence issues. They're worried because they're not documented, or they are documented, but the husband may not be, or the abuser may not be in domestic violence, who are worried about saving their jobs when they report it. So the immigration work that we have done, I am extremely proud of. The other thing that we're proud of, especially in the last few years, is sealing the convictions of those that have done a great thing over the last 10 years and not gotten into any trouble, who got into trouble when they were younger or kids or whatever. People do. But folks need a second chance. And quite often, it's that second chance that keeps recidivism so low. And so we're proud of the work we've done with our community groups in Cure Violence. And I think that we need to make sure that we bring all of those issues to the district attorney's office. And we need to make it really a community-oriented, less crime, and also working together office while keeping our borough safe.
Thank you. That's all the time we have for this segment of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. Very special guest, Melinda Katz, Queensborough president, running for Queens District Attorney. Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you. And thank you to all your members for the work they do.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. Join us each and every Saturday night at 7, right here on AM 970, The Answer.
The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.